We're continuing the conversation on what it looks like to be effective, to foster spiritual growth and effective communication, servant leadership, as we lead in whatever role God has called us to, whether it's a stay-at-home mom, or I'm working in construction, or vocational ministry, or God's called me to lead in ministry, stacking chairs, or the kitchen, whatever it is. There's some practices, some habits, you could say, that we could form that can foster some health and sustainability to be a part of this mission. So continuing today, the conversation around some habits that we can form to build sustainability and effectiveness as we strive for excellence in doing the best we can in ministry. Welcome to Hope and Recovery, a Fellowship Celebrate Recovery podcast that shares hope and healing for our mental, spiritual, and emotional, relational journey through life change stories and recovery topics, all centered around the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 and the Celebrate Recovery principles, where we learn how to face our hurts, hangups, and habits and relational issues so that we can not just find freedom and healing, but find meaning and purpose, calling, to not waste those hurts from our past as we live out Principle 8 in our recovery. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I struggle with drugs and alcohol and perfectionism. I'm the pastor and ministry leader of Celebrate Recovery at Fellowship Rogers here at Fellowship Bible Church in Rogers, Celebrate Recovery. And it's so, so good to be here with you again today. We're continuing the conversation around these habits. And on the last episode, if you missed it, you can go back and check it out. But no harm if you want to pick up here and then go back. It's good standalone content. But prayer, meditation, scripture reading, humility, servant leadership, and effective communication is kind of what we got into last week. Remembering is that Ephesians 1:19-20 that I touched on last week, power lives in us. The same power, that explosive force, dunamis is the Greek word for power. 57 times it talks about that power, the resurrection, and that power, dynamite and dynamo, this explosive force and constant flow of power lives and breathes in us like it did early in our recovery, is now we have access to that as leaders, whether we have formal leadership roles or we're walking in ministry day to day with our, starting with our family, we're all leaders in some form or fashion. And so these are things that we can apply to our life, knowing that that explosive, constant flow of force and power is living and breathing inside of us. And so I want to start picking up that conversation. One of those other habits that's so essential is accountability. And it's a great question to ask, am I open to accountability? So, well, sure I am. Well, how do you respond when people try to hold you accountable? Now, let me be clear. I've said this before. No one can hold us accountable. Nobody can hold us accountable, but we can give people permission to hold us accountable. And so, make sure I'm giving people permission, but those people that I've given permission, am I open to that accountability? Have I started to believe, no, I don't need to be held accountable by anybody? But who are your trusted mentors, your peers? Are you open to accountability with them to ensure that you'll stay grounded and accountable for your actions? Again, sometimes we are intentionally, and I talked about this at a local training conference recently, sometimes we are intentional in hurting other people. Sometimes we don't. If I run a stop sign and I'm kind of spaced out and I, honest to God, missed it and I just went right through it and I hit another car coming through the intersection, it's still my fault. It's still my responsibility. I still have to own that. And so if someone says, hey, you said this and it hurt me, well, I didn't mean to. I need to be accountable to that. You know what? This has happened before and I'm sorry. I need to be accountable for that. And so I just need to own that, to be accountable. But do you see cracks in my armor? And, you know, it's a great question to ask. Do we have people in our life that would be willing to speak up when they see cracks in our armor? Sometimes we work so hard to have that armor in front of us that we think no one can see the cracks in our armor. But they're there. It's just sometimes people don't, they're afraid to say something because they don't want to see your reaction. It's like, ugh. Thomas Carlyle says, the greatest of faults is to be conscious of none. That's the greatest fault. The greatest of faults is to be conscious of none. We have faults, but do we have someone that's willing to point out the cracks in our armor? To be accountable. Sometimes we can think, well, everyone else has the problems. I love that Matthew 7:3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Whew. Yeah. Am I accountable? Do I have something in my own eye? So I want to be accountable. If I said something that hurt you, do I give people permission to say, hey, that kind of stung? And I know you may didn't intend to do that, but it did hurt, and I need to tell you. Reminds me of the quote from Robin Sharma says, words can inspire and words can destroy. Choose yours well. So I need to be accountable to that. So I think about the garden, in the Garden of Eden. God goes to the garden. Adam and Eve are hiding. Why are they hiding? Because they ate from the tree. The one tree they weren't supposed to. It sounds familiar, right? It sounds like my story. So they're hiding, and God knows exactly where they are, but he goes to them and he asks a couple questions. And I've talked about this in different lenses, but this one's a little bit different. But he asks them, where are you? Well, we're naked and we're in the bushes because we ate of the apple. The second question he asked them is, who told you that? Who told you you were naked? And it's such a powerful question, because what the response is, well, Satan, right? The enemy did it. And then they start pointing fingers at each other. You start seeing and hearing this blame game. And here's what's so important with blame. Blame in that very moment, like if someone comes to me and tries to hold me accountable, it's like, well, you know, I had a bad day and you just need to understand ministry is hard or whatever. If you knew what I was going through, you wouldn't even be talking to me about this. We do this blame game. And the blame, I remember Rick Warren talking about this, be lame, which is kind of funny. It's kind of a dad joke, but it is interesting, be lame. But blame in that moment can become my inability to be held accountable for a lifetime. When I am pointing the finger and I'm blaming in that moment, I'm actually saying and putting some roots in that says, I'm going to have the inability to be held accountable for a lifetime. Now, can change happen? Yes. But when we start the blame game and instead of taking responsibility, we're in a stuck place. So am I accountable? It's a good question. You know, maybe even circling back with those that are close to you. If you're a mom, who are the ladies in your stay-at-home mom? You got some ladies in your life, you know, maybe connect with them. Say, hey, I haven't told you this in a while, but I just want you to know, if you see anything in me that seems off, one, I may be struggling and I just need somebody to connect with. I'm afraid to say something. But two, I may be struggling with something that needs to be brought in the light, and I need a safe person to approach me with that. Not to shame me, but to help point it out so that I don't go further down into that pit. You're in the business world. Ministry is finding someone and just giving them those mentors and those peers, give them permission, trusted people in your life that you know are not going to shame you, but be honest. I think of Nathan with David. One of the most powerful statements that Nathan makes to David after he's had the affair with Bathsheba and he has her husband killed and all that stuff is Nathan approaches him in love and compassion. He says, David, you are that guy. and you can just feel the heart and the compassion, but balance of truth. And we need those people in our life. So are you accountable? Are you open to accountability? Lifelong learner. Sometimes I'm in my 19th ministry year in a couple months here. And it's interesting. We can kind of buy into this narrative that we've got it all figured out. We have to be continuous lifelong learners, knowing that my personal development has not stopped. He who began a good work in me will be faithful to carry it on to completion. Am I staying teachable and constantly learning, continuously learning, so I can be effective in my role as a leader in ministry, personal ministry, vocational ministry, etc.? That continuous learning is so essential. So with that, you know, what are you reading these days? What are you stimulating your mind? You know, it's easy to feed our brain with the wrong things. I remember when I went to the doctor, I was having some, my blood sugar was off. And so they were testing me, and they discovered I was hypoglycemic. And so they sent me to a nutritionist, and they had all these plastic foods. She's showing me these little plastic things, and one of them was a little small circle of peanut butter. And she said, this is about how much peanut butter you should be eating a day, no more than that. And I was like, wait, what? That's not enough. I have a sweet tooth. But she made a statement. She said, Rodney, you're going to have to cut back on your sweets to be able to help with your hypoglycemia. And I was like, okay, I can't do that. And she said something so profound to me, that I'll never forget. She said, Rodney, your body will begin to crave what it eats. And you know what? She's right. When I used to have to pinch my nose to drink a glass of water. Now I can't go a day without water. My body revolts. I can feel it in my bones and my body. I get headaches. My body craves water. It craves what I feed it. And on a spiritual sense, whatever I'm feeding my mind and my heart, my body, it's going to crave. So are you feeding it? Nothing wrong with watching, just a mind-numbing, show, a series, whatever. We need those kind of checkout things every once in a while. But if it's all I'm feeding my mind, then I'm in a bad spot. So what are you committing to read? What are you watching? Are you going to seminars? Are you seeking mentorship? When you sit down with your mentor, are you listening, or are you just going to prove to them, talk about how great you are and how smart you are? Are you closing your mouth and listening to your mentor? What are some developments in your ministry that you need to be paying attention to? Are you enabling growth in your leadership approach as a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, a son, a daughter, a ministry leader, a coach, a step study, small group leader, whatever that is? Are you feeding your mind with new and different things? Are you stimulating your brain with new things, feeding your heart with the right things? I love Winston Churchill's quote. He says, never give in, never give in, never, 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 never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. If we're feeding our brains and have this posture of lifelong learners, we're going to be in a better space. Lifelong learners remain teachable. They close their mouth more often and open their ears. My pride gets in the way. It goes back to humility we talked about in the last podcast, that I'm not teachable. James 1:2-4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Part of the teaching and learning is through our trials, our struggles. What am I learning about this? Who's going to be the one to guide me through it? Lord, what's the nugget? Even in criticism, trying to find that one nugget of truth. Is there any nugget, even though some of that is kind of uncalled for, hurtful, is there a nugget in their criticism that I could learn from that will help me produce perseverance? Empathy and kindness. Those are two big ones there. Understanding and empathizing with the struggles and needs of others. And this requires us to make sure we're in a good spot in it. So that we have something, again, back to point one from the last podcast, if I'm not spending time with the Father and allowing Him to give me the nourishment to feed the branch and the bud that is my life from His vine that's connected with the roots in Christ and the Holy Spirit, that I'm not going to be able to express empathy and kindness if my rhythm is off. We'll talk more about that in a minute, but that I'm not going to be able to give empathy and kindness. And here's the thing. I think it's in Ephesians 3. It says, be kind and compassionate. Sometimes we can buy into the mindset that we're supposed to do that under our own power. What if we don't have the power within ourselves to manufacture that? What if it doesn't come from us, but comes to us and works in us and works through us? Empathy and kindness is so essential. I'll continue that thought here in a second. I want to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll wrap up the last of this, some habits that we can practice in leadership regardless of where we lead in ministry. Stick with me. I'll be right back. Hey friends, if you're looking for a local meeting, we have two meetings here at Fellowship, Fellowship Fayetteville, Fellowship Rogers, the same schedule, 6 p.m. We have Connection Cafe meal, and then 7 o'clock we start with the meeting. We'd always love for you to join us, but don't forget, we've got a lot of other local meetings here in the area. You can go to fellowshipcr.org to find a full list, and we hope you'll find a Celebrate Recovery near you and join us. We'd love to walk alongside you as we celebrate our recovery together. FellowshipCR.org for more information. Right before the break, I was talking about humility and how that plays into the empathy and kindness because we're connected with the vine. Humility says, I need you, Lord, that the power comes to me, not from me. And you're the one that's going to manufacture empathy and kindness. But I love 1 Corinthians 13, if we're in that lens of, Lord, would you provide everything I need so that I can produce fruit of empathy and kindness, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all that stuff, right? It says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. What a cool thing to do in this space, if we find that we're in a bad space, is replace the love or it with I am. So for example, I am patient. I am kind. I do not envy. I do not boast. I am not proud. If you're reading those and it feels like, oof, that doesn't feel accurate, then don't shame yourself. Just take that to the Father. Lord, I'm having trouble with my patience. I'm having trouble being kind, or I'm keeping a record of wrongs and I'm easily angered right now. Lord, I want to lean into that to understand that, remembering He's the one that produces the empathy and kindness, taking it to Him. But I think the really right behind that is healthy work-life balance, ministry life balance, whatever you want to call it. We have to prioritize our self-care, don't we? And that requires maintaining boundaries between ministry responsibilities and personal life. If we're not doing that, by the way, I'm going to talk about burnout and just feeling tired at the summit this year, expand on this. But if we're not protecting our garden, you know, if you imagine a garden that has no fence around it, and any and all vultures can come in and take all your produce, you're not going to have anything to be sustainable. And guess what? That means you're going to have to go steal from someone else's garden. Now we've created some really unhealthy balance, not just in our life, but others. But I got to put a fence around my garden. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not giving to anyone and hoarding all my produce. Now, what it says is I'm going to tend to my own garden, and then I'm going to give this to you at this time. I'm going to give this to you at that time and to them at this time. You've got to set boundaries with that, and that's so important. But how's your balance in this space? If we're not managing that and having effective boundaries through, we're going to burn out in that space. We're going to be ineffective long term. So I have to prioritize my well-being through, back to those points from the last podcast, prayer, meditation, even exercise, walking around. What am I putting in my body, my mind, my heart? What are my healthy boundaries so I can assure effectiveness and not burn out in this space? Mark 1:35-37 says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him." I love that. "And when they found him, they exclaimed, 'Everyone is looking for you.'" Now, here's the thing. You're always going to have someone looking for you. But here's a picture. I love Brian Dyson paints this picture of the difference. You know, if you imagine a tabletop and you've got all these rubber balls on this tabletop, you have a different capacity than I have, and I have a different capacity than the next guy or gal, right? I need to know what my capacity is, number one. And the reason the way you can know that is when balls start falling off the table, I know I've reached my capacity. And so here's what happens. If I'm going to add something to the table, I've got to remove something from the table. And some of those things that are on our table, you could call them rubber balls. And when those rubber balls, as Brian Dyson says, if they fall off, those will bounce back. But some of the things on our table are glass balls. And when those fall off, they shatter. I want to make sure that when I'm thinking of prioritizing ministry and even things that I'm doing, my to-do list, all of the things are important. All the things on my circle, my capacity are important. But some of them are higher priority. I need to make sure that those glass balls are not falling off and getting pushed off the table because I'm putting too many rubber balls on there, if that makes sense. So that helps me to make better decisions when I have healthy balance, prioritize, set boundaries, and you're setting a good example for those that you're leading. The last one is building and equipping teams. It's so important that when I'm equipping teams, I'm investing in them. I'm developing them. I was talking to someone recently about this at a conference, but sometimes when we're looking at giving stuff away so that we don't do everything, by the way, isn't it easy to say, well, I can do it. I'm just going to do it myself. If you want it done right, do it yourself. And that sometimes that's right. And sometimes it's not sustainable more often than not. So, you know, there's a difference between dumping. You know, the dumping is when I just dump the responsibility. Hey, here, you take this, you go do it. That's kind of dumping. There's no guidance. There's no follow-up. There's no feedback along the way or even afterward. Delegating is a little bit better because we're actually setting them up. Hey, here's what's expected. This is what you're going to be doing, and I'm giving this to you. I'm delegating it to you. A little bit better, but really developing is where we want to be. Developing is doing the exact same things that is said about delegating. Here's what I need you to do. Here's how you're going to do it. I'm giving you feedback along the way. How are you doing? Are you struggling? Anything I can be helping you with to accomplish it? And then following up after the task and giving feedback in the developing role lens, circling back and, hey, give me feedback. How did that go? So make sure you're not just dumping, not even just delegating, but developing And in essence, empowering others in your sphere of influence and ministry to ensure that sustainability and multiplication for healthy habits, so that we can make a big impact on the ones that are around us. Colossians 3:23-24 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." And again, we're not looking for perfection in this building and equipping your teams. We're looking for excellence. And what's excellence? Excellence is not about winning. It's doing the best you can with what you have. And when you drop people, just circle back and repair. "Hey, I kind of dropped you on that. I kind of just dumped that on you and I need to repair that. I'll do better with that. Please accept my apology." But doing the best you can so that we can produce the best results that we're capable of achieving, knowing that my capacity, my skill set is going to be different than your capacity and your skill set. But knowing we're all created in the image of God, that's a cool thing to think we all bring different gifts and different capacities and different mindsets, different lens, different experiences, different cultures. That's what makes a beautiful mosaic of this body of Christ serving to carry out the mission of Principle 8 to be used to bring this good news to others, both by our words and our examples. Remember, all of these things is knowing that it's first His power coming to me. Remember the Greek word dunamis, His explosive force and constant flow of power working and coming to me, working in and through me, and ultimately through me to help other people so that they can be empowered to do the same thing, so that we can multiply the mission, multiply the kingdom, so that we can reach more people with effectiveness and sustainability, so that we can keep doing this, what God has called us to do. Well, I hope this has been helpful for you. Just trying to give you some encouragement and tips. Hey, if you're leading in any capacity, congratulations, and we're so proud of you. You're doing it. And remember, excellence, we're just trying to do the best we can with what we've got. And never forget, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, even Lazarus from the dead, is living inside of you. It's that dunamis, that Greek word. It's living in you, that explosive force and that constant flow of power that helped you early in your recovery is going to help you in your leadership capacity and role to be able to live out the calling and purpose God has for you in your life. I hope this has blessed you and giving you some food for thought to maybe journal out, maybe invite some mentors and safe community in to set some goals to sharpen your saw as a leader in ministry. Hey, grateful for you being here. And as always, thanks for listening. And I pray that you'll join me next time. Until then, God bless you. Have a great week.